Before he was 2 years old, my little cousin Johan did something that would make any father or grandfather very proud. And this all started when his father, who was also called Johan, and Johan was my uncle, was a car salesman for many years in his life. But he also loved trucks. And it started with little Johan, where they would be playing and spending time together. And while they were playing, Johan Senior would take out his little cars. He always had these like little Chevys and Buicks and, you know, those cars you see in the 50s and 60s. Many of you know you grew up in them. But the old Mercedeses or those little cars. And when he would play with him, he would turn to little Johan and say to him, "Buta, this is the 1957 Chevy. Okay, it came in this color, and this is where the spare wheel goes and everything else." And he would play with the cars and get to know the cars. And eventually, it got to the point where he would say to little Johan, "Go and fetch me the Rolls Royce, the 1964 Rolls Royce, or the Jaguar, or whatever, I don't know all those names." And he would go to the box, and he would fiddle around in the box and bring that little car. Once he was sitting on his lap, and Johan Senior was reading a book to him, and he all of a sudden climbed down from his lap, ran to the miniature Rolls Royce that was on the shelf, and he brought the exact replica of the car that was in the book that my uncle was reading to him. Till today, both of them love cars. And the point I'm trying to make is that if a two-year-old child can make that connection, can already start thinking about, hang on, this car is a Chevy 1964 or a Ford Escort, 1600, I don't know all the names. But if a child can already start making connections like those, doesn't that show the importance of teaching children the right things early on? And so today I want to look at one of the most important areas of all, and that is the raising of your child in God's will, for God's glory. All of us, many of us are parents, and we have children. Some of us are blessed to have grandchildren. Some of us are even more blessed to have great-grandchildren. But we all, at some point, we teach children, whether it's in ministry, whether it's your own children. Your children is your greatest investment in the future. And taking care of that investment, teaching and nourishing and training up that investment, is probably the most important task that you will have as a believer. And the Bible is clear when it reminds us that children are a precious gift from the Lord. But far too often, children are seen as an inconvenience and as a nuisance. Just go spend some time in Pavilion on Friday night and see how many people drop their kids off there with crazy amounts of money so that they don't have to take care of them. Instead of being seen as a blessing, parenting is often seen as a burden. Parents complain about their kids. And we must remember that our children have been placed in our lives just for a few short years. Ask the grannies in this building. The years fly by. They have been given to us so that we might help them to mature into adults that desires and glorifies God. We are not to be guilty of forcing them into a mold, into our mold, but we are to do everything in our power to mold them into the image of Christ. Our text this morning gives us some much-needed insight into the matter of raising our children. So let's take the time today to learn about better parenting from the Lord Himself as He gives us His word in the book of Deuteronomy. There's a few points that I want to highlight from the text this morning. And the first thing that I want to do is to highlight for you that parents have the responsibility to live their lives right. Parents must live right. And we get that from verse 1 to verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 3. The scripture says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised to you in a land flowing with milk and honey." Successful parenting always begins with a parent's relationship with God. Successful parenting always begins with your relationship as a parent with God. No parent can succeed in helping a child grow up into the image of God unless they know God. You can't do that if you don't know what you're aiming for. Parents must be walking in a right relationship before the Lord, or they will never have the influence in their children's lives that is required for them to raise them as godly children. In other words, you will never be able to lead your children somewhere that you have never been. You'll never be able to show them what it means to live as a child of God. You'll never be able to talk to them about what it means to live as a child of God if you don't know God yourself. And these first few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 speaks to this issue and shows us that parents need to be where they need to be if they are going to be effective parents that God desires them to be. If you want to raise your kids in the ways of the Lord, you need to at least know the Lord. And so he speaks about a few things, two or three things in these first few verses. And the first thing he talks about is having that reverence for God. You must not only know God, but you must revere God. You must worship God. And the word that we have there in verse 2 is that you must fear the Lord. You must fear the Lord. This is what it means, is we are to walk with an awareness of the glory of God, His holiness, and His majesty. Everything that we keep on talking about when we preach, everything we sing about when we worship, everything we study in our Bibles when we do Bible study is about the holiness, the majesty, and the sovereignty of God. You need to know that. A parent's primary responsibility is to walk with the fear of the Lord. If you are flippant about that, if you don't care about that, if that's not really something you do on a daily basis, spending time in God's Word, reading your Bible, doing your quiet time, praying, if that's not important, how on earth are you going to teach that to your children? You see, we are to bring our lives under the Lordship of Christ. Submit our lives to Him. And a godly parent places the Lord's will above all other considerations, realizing that the fear of the Lord is the first step in wisdom and proper parenting. You have to have God in the right place. He also speaks about reactions. When we fear the Lord as we should, he says our natural reaction is to obey. Not only obey Him, but obey His Word. There's no better witness to our children than the sure knowledge that mom and dad takes the Bible seriously. That what it teaches is the Word of God. And that God's Word is the rule of the house. Not yours, even though you throw a little tantrum. Not the parents, because they submit themselves to the Lord. And this brings to mind a couple of great truths that we should remember and implement in our home as parents. Just a few of them. Two of them. God's standards are to be our standards. God's standards are to be our standards. We are to build our lives around the dictates, the premises, the commands and mandates of God's Word. God's Word should be the thing that we always strive to live by. When God speaks, we are to respond by doing what He tells us to do and by refraining from what He forbids us to do. Secondly, your children will often model what they see in life. I've seen so many times where kids pick up the words they shouldn't. And then when they use them, the parents are like, "Where did you hear that?" But they know very well where they heard that. Your children will pick up the things that they see in your life, that they hear in your life. They will mimic the things that you do in your life. They will carry away from your home many of your actions and your reactions. And it's your responsibility as parents to teach them that God's Word is to be obeyed. Thirdly, he speaks about rewards. God promised Israel that if they followed His Word, if they were obedient to His Word, that He would bless them and reward their lives. And the same holds true for us today. God has promised to bless those who walk in His will and follow His Word. Listen to Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. You know the psalm fairly well. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by a stream of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's God's promise. That's what he says will happen if we remain faithful. Children need to see that God will do what he says he will do. And so here's a few questions. Does your children know that God will bless your tithing? That as you give, that God will bless your giving? Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 to 10. Does your children know that God will bless honesty? Philippians 4 verse 8 and 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11 and 12. Do your children see that faithfulness is blessed by God? It's not just a pat on the back from someone else, but God actually blesses those who are faithful. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Do your children see serving God as optional or mandatory? Is it something that we just do when it's fun? That we don't go to all the other meetings and the boring stuff, but we go to the things that we enjoy, where we can eat? Is that what church is about? They will learn exactly what they observe in your life. And they need to know that God blesses faithful people. If they see us enjoying the great blessings of the Lord, they will want the same thing for their own lives. If they see us worshiping and testifying of God's faithfulness, they will test that, but see that in their own lives. So let's show them that serving God is the only way to live and that obedience to the Lord always pays off. It's far better to raise a religious fanatic than a heathen. It's far better to raise a religious fanatic than a heathen. When your parenting duties are over, guess what? Your children will be a living memorial to the investment that you've made in their lives. And by the way, you can't do that if you... that all you do is complain about the church. Oh, the worship team this morning. Guess what they're going to do when they come into church next time? Oh, the worship team this morning. The pastor preached so long. Long-winded sermons. Oh, the pastor is talking so long. You can't do that. You can't teach them if you complain about the church the whole time. Complain about the pastor. Complain about the things in the church. Complain about the ministries. You can't teach them to honor the Lord if you don't honor the Lord. You can't teach them to enjoy and want the things of God if you don't want the things of God. You complain about them the whole time. You can't teach them to love the Lord if all you do is encourage them to love the world. And so the first thing we see in this passage is that parents must live right. How is your life? Are your priorities the right priorities? Are you filling your life with the right things? Or have you allowed the things of the world, the sand of this world, to just fill your bucket? Second thing that we see in this text is that parents must love righteousness. Parents must love righteousness. Verse 4 and verse 5. Please read with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Again, this may not seem to have a lot to do with parenting, but it strikes at the very heart of parenting. Before we can ever be successful Christian parents, we must have our own relationship with the Lord nailed down. We must know what's involved and how we live before the Lord. And just as important, it is also just as important that our children see us living righteously. That they must see us also loving righteousness. That is, they must see that we love the Lord God and love the ways of God supremely. And so here's a few things that you can consider. Our love is to be focused first and foremost on the Lord. That's verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." There are not to be many gods or idols in your life. Too often children see parents putting everything in the world ahead of God. It may be a job, it may be a hobby, a social life, a friend or a group of friends, whatever it is. Whatever comes ahead of God in your life is an idol. And it sends a false message to our children of what is important, what the joy of life is about. We are telling them by our actions that this thing that we love comes ahead of our love for God. You know, it's interesting. I don't like Facebook. I don't go on Facebook that often. But I, every now and then I'm on Facebook if I need to post something or read something that I'm looking for. And it strikes me sometimes how I see some of you on a Sunday morning when it's supposed to be in church, you are clocking in. Or what is it? What's that option on Facebook? Checking in. What's it? I'm checking in at the China Mall. Really? I knew you went to church on Sunday, so that's where you were. Or we had something else, or doing something else. It's ministry that we've been invited to that we can benefit from. Oh, but nope, going to the movies or having supper somewhere else. I'm not saying that's wrong. But whatever we put in front of God, whatever we put in front of our church, whatever we put in front of our life and relationship with God, whatever hobby, social life, whatever it is, that becomes the message to our children that that's more important than our fellowship and relationship with God. Children need to know that no one or nothing comes before our relationship with God. God first. He must be our focus. If we teach them that God is just for Sundays, we are going to raise a generation of idolaters. We only worship God once a week and only as an idol. Why do you think that many children have rejected the faith of their parents? How many children today of parents who are in church, how many of those parents can say, my child is not in church? My child has left the faith. And sometimes the reason lies in the fact that what mom and dad claimed to have lacked reality. They said one thing, but their lives were completely different. And by the way, if it weren't for the intervention of God in my life, I would also not be here today. You know, I grew up in the church. I was there every single Sunday. And I had no reason to make God and the church a priority in my life. And I grew up in it. I listened to his sermons every Sunday. Sat there in the Dutch Reformed Church, and the minute that I left school, went to the army, I never set foot in the church again. Until God saved me. The next thing that he talks about, and that's in verse 5, is our love is to be fixed on the Lord. He says in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This love for God is to motivate us in every area of our life. Our love for him should consume us totally. And when it does, it will fill us and work in us and reveal itself through us. When we love him like we should, we will be in our place at church and on time. We will support the work of the church, support the work of ministry with our giving, our living, also our time. We will teach our children to be faithful to the things of God and not to people's personal opinions. We will teach them to respect the church, the people of God, and the men of God. We will teach them to love the Word of God, the worship of God, and the will of God. Our children need to see this in the lives of moms and dads, in the lives of their parents. So parents must first of all live right, and secondly must love right. Their love must be in the right place. Thirdly, parents must learn what is right. As Moses writes in the book of Deuteronomy in verses 6 to verse 9, he says that parents must learn what is right. These words, verse 6, which I am commanding to you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, on your hand, sorry, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The word of God is to be taken in and it's to be allowed to change our lives, to permeate through our lives. Every aspect of our lives, not just this itty-bitty Christian part that we do on a Sunday. If I expect my life to impact my children, then I must be transformed by the Word of God myself. Nothing can happen through me until it first happens in me. You need to be growing so that you can help your children to grow. You know, we're so quick to give our kids advice about life. Do this, don't do that. Watch out for this. You know, stay away from that thing. As you grow older, you know, boys come into the picture. These are the rules. These are the things you need to be careful of. When they leave school, you know, now you're in the big world, so this is what you do, this is what you don't do, these are the things you need to watch out. But it's no use you say it if you yourself don't live it. Because that makes you a hypocrite. It's essential that parents have a personal time of prayer and Bible study, for instance. As parents, you need to be growing so that you can help your child grow. Mom, who's God? Dad, does God really exist? Why do we have to go to church on a Sunday? Did David live when you were born? That's a question I got asked in Sunday school. Your mom and you parents, you moms and dads, you need to grow in Christ. And you all know that you still need to grow in Christ. And it's important that you realize that you must grow. The importance and influence of the Word of God should never be underestimated for believers. If we expect to raise godly children, then first must be godly parents. You can't get the one without the other. Secondly, we are to share what we know. We are to share our lives with God. That's verse 7 and verse 9. These verses say that we are to diligently teach the word to our children. We need to sit them down and teach them the word of God. Just like my uncle taught my little cousin about cars. Taught him about the color, the make and the model and everything else. The same way we must diligently teach the word to our children. That word diligent means to whet or to sharpen. To hone into a nice point. In other words, you take whatever dull material you have and you shape it continually, sharpen it continually. Your training is to penetrate deep into the hearts of your children. We are to help them on the basis of God's word to be keen, sharp, and discerning when it comes to life. We are not to teach them through dogmatic exclamations such as, "Because I said so." That doesn't help. We are to develop them in them a set of convictions based on the Word of God that will guide them throughout their lives. This is wrong because God's Word says it is wrong. You should do this because God's Word says you should. It isn't about a bunch of rules or a list of do's and don'ts. It is about teaching them by example and by explaining them the things that you have learned from God and that you have practiced in your own life. Now, how do we accomplish this? How do I teach my children the Word of God? How do I share with them when we sit down, when we talk, when we discuss the things of God? Well, there's several things that we can keep in mind. First of all, realize that each child is uniquely formed by God. There's no one like them. Okay? While a child will certainly acquire certain traits from being in your home, that child is still an individual before the Lord. They're still their own person. No child is the product of evolution. But each has been formed by God for a particular function. And this needs to be understood by the parents so that they can help them to raise their children for the purpose. It may be that the Lord has plans that are vastly different from your own, and you need to allow God to do that work in the lives of the children. So recognize that they are unique. Number two, realize that each child has an individual bent. In other words, they have an individual character, or individual way that they are trained up. The verse says that we need to train up our children. We need to lead them up. These words speak of a midwife who would dip her finger into crushed dates to awaken in the newborn infant a desire for milk. So when the child is born and they get the ritual slap to start screaming, the next thing is they need to feed. And in the old days, the midwives would put their fingers into crushed dates and hold it on their lips, and that would the child would learn suckling through that. And it would create in them that desire to eat. Which means, what this means is that the training we give our children should whet their appetites for the things of God. How many kids hate to come to church? Where do you think they learn that? So many kids don't want to be involved in the things of the church. Why do you think that is? We have not whet their appetites. In fact, we've actually served them broccoli. serve them broccoli, tell them without cheese sauce. Eh? Brussels sprouts, yeah, Brussels sprouts, yes. That's the one I had in mind. We fed them Brussels sprouts. And we told them, that's what church is, that's what Christianity is. We haven't woken up in them a hunger for God in His Word. We should lead them that they develop a hunger for God and are internally motivated and externally compelled. They want to know more. To train up, as we've looked at the word, can also refer to placing a rope in a wild horse mouth. You know, to put the bit between the teeth and say that I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. And certainly there must be rules and boundaries, but there should also be an internal desire to know and follow God. You need to show them the greatness, the majesty, the beauty, the wonder of God. And this is awakened only by the examples of the parents. If you love the Word of God, they will love the Word of God. If you love being faithful and obedient to the Word of God, they will do the same. Or at least they will see value in it. Parents must learn the proper balance between examples and boundaries. And this verse also mentions in the way that they should go. It doesn't mean in the way that you think they should go, but it refers to their individual bent, the characteristic of every child. All children are like cement. Okay, when you pour cement, what's the desire you have? Or your dog? They want to go and make imprints. All kids are like that. They want people, or they have people make imprints into their lives. And wise parents see the differences in each child and raises them up accordingly. A wise parent trains up a child in the way that he should go. Not according to the parents' will for the child, but according to God's will, created as part of the child for God's glory. Thirdly, you must realize that each child is born with a sinful nature. And you see that very early on. Okay, ask any parent. They seem so sweet when they get you. Okay, after the day of moving. But do not be fooled by that sweet little baby. Inside every one of them, there's a sinful nature. And it begins expressing itself almost immediately. So parents are not only challenged to teach children to do the right thing, we are challenged to punish them when they do the wrong thing. If a parent does not punish their children, then the children will punish them. Susanna Wesley, who raised 17 children, Keegan, you still have a way to go. She raised 17 children, including John and Charles Wesley, the founders of the Methodist Church, and who mostly would be considered to be somewhat of an expert about this raising of children and discipline. She said the following, and I quote, "The parents that studies to subdue self-will in his child works together with God in renewing and saving a soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes salvation unattainable, and does all that in him lies to damn his child, soul, and body forever." Discipline is required. And in the home, and I've spoken to you about this quite a while ago, in the home, the laws of the government, the laws of other people, in the home, that's you and your family and God. They have no right to come in and tell you that you must not discipline your child. I'm not saying beat your child to an inch of their life, but disciplining them. Disciplining them, reshaping them, retraining them, moving them in the right direction. I want to remind you that it's far easier to build a child than to repair an adult. It's far easier for us to build a child than it is to repair an adult. And so as I close this morning, my prayer is that may the Lord help us to do everything in our power to be the best parents we can be to the praise of His glory and His wonder. Now, how would you feel if your child grew up to be a Christian just like you? Someone who worships God. Someone who's devoted to the Word of God. Would that be pleasing? Would you be happy about that? Or are there areas that need the Lord's attention in your own life? If we have made mistakes, and who hasn't? There is help, forgiveness, and renewal in the Lord. Some parents actually need to apologize to their children for living contradictory lives in front of them. Any change that we make in our lives, anything that we adjust in our lives, must begin with the Lord. Our worship, our devotion, and our submission to the Lordship of Christ. And so, Mom and Dad, is everything right in your relationship with the Lord? Can you honestly say this morning that you love the Lord? You are devoted to the Lord? Can you say that you are the best example of following Christ that you can be for your child? Is everything all right in your relationship also with your children? And if there are any needs this morning, if you recognize that maybe in your life or in the life of your children, there's problems, there's a need, let's bring them to the Lord now as we pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to have children. Lord, that we have the opportunity as parents to raise up a new life, an individual who is filled with so much potential, filled with so much joy, and Lord, dependence upon us. And Lord, as we think about our children, some of them might be big and have their own children. Some of them might still be in school. Some of us might possibly have grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. As we think of them and we think about this world that they're growing up in, Lord, our hearts want you to raise them up. Our hearts want you to protect them. We see the evil of this world. We see the hopelessness of this world. We see, Lord, the chaos that's in this world. And none of us as adults have any hope for this world. How on earth are we going to raise up our children? And we recognize within ourselves that the only way that they can survive this world is to know you. And so, Lord, we pray. We pray for our children. We lift them up to you this morning and we ask, Lord, where we fail, and sometimes we fail in many ways, we ask that you would come in and help and encourage, lift us up, strengthen us, give us wisdom and insight. And Lord, even in our own lives, we recognize as parents that we aren't always right with you, that we have not always been obedient to you, that sometimes our love for our children and our love for who they are has made us blind to their mistakes, has made us blind to their wills and the things that they do. And Father, whether we are parents or great grandparents, whatever we are still parents. We are still the mothers and the fathers of our children. And our role and responsibility only stops the day that we die. And so I pray for our parents this morning. I ask that you would just encourage them, Lord, that you would speak to them today. And that they would not just hear this message and feel you speaking to them about their own shortcomings or their own faults or their own problems, but that they would also experience the joy, the privilege, the happiness of having children, that you've blessed them with their own children. You've blessed them with grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And that blessing takes responsibility, and I pray that you'll be with them. But Father, we thank you for the joy of children. Thank you for those little lives that run around in this church. Thank you for the little voices that eventually become adults that have their own children. And Father, that we have such a wonderful responsibility, not only as parents, but as a church, to love them, to care for them, to nurture them and teach them the ways of God. And so I pray, be with our people, be with our parents, be with our ministry leaders, our servants in the youth ministries, Sunday school. Father, just encourage them, lead them and guide them, so that in our church, the teaching of our children will always be a priority. And so we come before your throne and we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.